I made mention, and I said, this is such an amazing time of year because there's, you know, people will say, there's something in the air. And, you know, you can go to Walmart and people are smiling. Well, for the most part, you can tell somebody, I want to pray for you. Or you can say, Merry Christmas. Or you can say, God bless you. And they kind of have this, their face kind of lights up a little bit. There seems to be a sensitivity from right around Thanksgiving until right around New Year's. We get this little window when people seem to be, there's a sensitivity, an openness to having you speak blessing into their life. And, you know, we live in a world that for the most part is pretty dark. The world isn't dark because they love darkness. It's dark because they don't know the light. They don't know what to do other than what they're doing. And so often when you talk to somebody, they'll just begin reiterating whatever the last bad report was that they heard. They just begin to kind of spew that out of their mouth because that's what they have. And so we come along and we're like, oh man, things are great. God is in the process. Our country is coming around. People are coming around. Things are getting better. God's pouring out his spirit. People are coming to Christ all over the world. And that's all true. Did you know that? That's all true. Of course, you didn't hear that on, you know, MSNBC. So if depending what you're feeding yourself, you may not be hearing that kind of a testimony. But we get to be Jesus to the world we live in. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he said, now you go and bring this word and bring this touch and bring this love and bring this healing to the world. Your neighbors need to know what you know. You know, what is it with you? Well, I mean, when I came to Christ, people were asking, what happened to you? What happened to you? I mean, and there was a pretty stark contrast from what I once was. I mean, I wasn't always as great as I am now. You know what I'm saying? I was not the guy that you would want to spend a lot of time with. And a lot of people have a hard time understanding that because the transformation has been so effective, so complete, so deep, and so long-lasting that people go, oh, go on, you wouldn't understand. I am telling you, I totally understand. I had someone say to me one time, well, I don't really mind the Christians, but I can't stand those born-againers. Those born-again ones. But listen, just a little newsflash here. There's no other kind. There's only one kind of Christian. Jesus said, you must be born again, and maybe you've seen it. Born again is not some denomination. It's not some arrogant, you know, coat we put on, and we're all this, and, you know, look at me now, and, you know, polish my nails and all that kind of stuff. Being born again is like, have you ever been using your computer, and the thing just freezes up, and it'll say something like, refresh the window or refresh the computer or reboot, right? Well, what's that doing? It's making a new connection. It's making a fresh connection. The old connection wasn't cutting it anymore, and so it needs to upgrade itself so that you can be, you know, you can continue on with what you're doing. Getting born again is just like that. It's you just saying, God, I need an upgrade. I need a fresh connection with heaven. I need to reboot myself. Let me ask you this. Is anybody tired of having to try to prove they're not a robot to a robot? Has that dawned on anybody? You know, every time a machine asks you if you're a robot, it's a robot asking you if you're a robot. Gracious, where do I live? So last week I shared this from Isaiah 54, and I'll actually try to start here, and I'll probably finish here. Start here and finish here. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I said no weapon formed against you will prosper. I mean, when you get in a situation and things start looking sideways, and whether it's a political situation or something in our nation or something in the finances or something in your checkbook. And it's a weapon being used against you. It's a threat to your way of living. It's a threat to your family, perhaps. Some sickness is going on. It's a threat to you. It could be a threat to your church. No weapon formed against you is going to work. And he says, in every tongue that rises against you, you will condemn. You can just say, that's not true. That's not true. See, we live in a world where they say, well, you have to prove it. I don't have to prove anything. It's already been proven. Here it is. It's all been proven. All I got to do is recite it. That's my part, is speak it out. If this is the heritage or the inheritance, the ownership of the servants, this is the privilege, this is who you are. The scripture said those who gave their attention, their heart to the Lord became sons and daughters of the Most High. This is your privilege as a son or a daughter. This is what you get. This is who you are. I mean, when my kids come to my house, I mean the door's not locked. Come on in. Nobody knocks. They don't even ask before they go to the refrigerator. It's my refrigerator. It's your refrigerator, right? Why? Because they belong there. They don't feel like they need to get permission, or they need to, you know, knock on the door, or they need to check some kind of a box someplace. And that's the relationship that we have with the Lord. I mean, I think it's so good to know that no sickness, no circumstances, no problems that come against us can bring us down. The Amplified says it this way: peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the inheritance of the children of the Lord. I mean, this is where I ended last week, was this understanding that you have this from the Lord. You can speak it out. You can speak to issues and situations in your life and say, well, I mean, what's my talking going to do? What you're talking, just as words, as negative words are destructive, creative words and upbeat words are creative. When the devil attacks some area of life, we don't need to crawl into ourselves and crawl up in a ball and cry and whine and say, oh my goodness, I'm really in for it this time. Isaiah 54 says we can look at that situation right in the face and say, uh-uh. That's not what the Lord says for me, for my wife, for my life, for my family, for my children, for my parents. I mean, many of you here, there's a lot of young people here. A lot of people here, your parents aren't saved. When Debbie and I got saved, neither of our parents were saved. We prayed for your dad for what, 34 years? And he got saved before he went to be with the Lord. You know, so you could look at that and go, hey, God, I tried, nothing happened. Here's the answer: try again. Keep trying. Don't give up. Jesus gave us a wonderful Bible promise: in this life, you'll have trouble. I don't hear many claiming that one. When you get in a tough spot, that's not the time to give up. That's not the time to back down. That's not the time to jump churches. Oh, man, I said it out loud. It's easier when you're not the pastor anymore. Because you say what you say, and then you get in your car, and I mean, bye-bye. See you next year. I'm actually liking this. It's not time to back up and reevaluate his faithfulness. It's a time to back up and look at myself and say, what is my problem? Why do I keep doubting? Why do I keep giving up on him? He's never given up on me. After all we went through, I mean, I would think if anybody could work your way out of being loved by God, it would have been me. And maybe you're saying the same thing about yourself. But you know, he never looked at all those things you said and did, even things you said against him or against the kingdom or against the word. He never looked at that and said, okay, you're going to pay for that one. He said, I've got such a better plan for you. I've got so much for you. My brother watched last week. Maybe he's watching today. Hi, Bill, in Tennessee. And he said, I don't get to hear a word of encouragement like that very often. We are the encourager people. We have the word on the inside of us. We're the ones. If they don't get it from us, they're not going to get it. And some of the encouraged or supposed encouragement they get isn't really encouragement because it's not something from the word that is really meaningful and long-lasting. Did you know you could ask him for help? Did you know you could go to the Lord and say, God, did I miss it someplace? Debbie and I, multiple times over the years, we get in the middle of things, and we had some really hard times when we left construction in California. We came to Bible school here in New York, and I mean, there was a time we went from being pretty high on the hog to not knowing where meals were going to come from sometimes. And I can remember weeping together. God, did we blow it? Is this your idea or not? Did we just get all antsy and jump on something and we should have taken our time? We shouldn't have done it. And time after time, we just had this sense from the Lord, just keep steady. Just keep steady. Keep going forward. Maybe your business is having some wiggly times right now. Maybe your finances, maybe your checkbook, you know, has got a lot more month than money left in it. And, you know, am I gonna give up? And here's the thing, if you give up, where else are you going to go? I mean, it's like he's got you, you know. Where else? In fact, you know, didn't Jesus say at one time, well, are you going to leave me too? And it was Peter that piped up and said, but this is my version. Well, we would, but we don't know where else to go, right? Isn't that what he said? Where would we go? A lot of us are two different people. I mentioned this last week. We're one person out in the world and dripping with honey and Mr. or Mrs. or Miss and smiley face. And then we get home or we're on the phone and we're like, hey. A little snippy, a little, my mom used to say, you little snot. You know, just get all, don't get snotty with me, she'd say. Listen, if you're like that with your family, if you're sharp with your husband or you're sharp with your wife or you're super kind to the grandkids, but you treat your wife like, hey, give me a Coke. First of all, how you stayed married is beyond me, but. And you suddenly change, and you're like, honey, why don't you sit down? Let me get your slippers. First, let me rub your feet with lotion. Let's put these slippers on. Let me get you a Coke. Would you like ice? You would? Okay. Anything else? You want me to go to the store for you? Anything? You know what's going to happen? She's going to go, what happened to you? Which is exactly what happened when I gave my life to the Lord. People everywhere were going, what happened to you? I remember telling one guy, I don't know, but the pastor says I got saved. I didn't even know what happened. Changed my whole world. God is faithful. He's full of compassion. His mercies are new every day. We already know that his mercies are new, but listen, knowing it's not enough. Here's what the scripture says. The scripture says we should recall it. We need to remember it again and again and again. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21 starts out this way. Now, this is Jeremiah talking. And Jeremiah lived during a time when he was watching his whole world fall apart. I mean, the stories in the book of Lamentations, I won't even mention them this morning because some of them are gross. And that's going to make you want to go read them. I mean, they're gross. Nobody behaves like this. Well, yeah, they did. And he wrote about it. And he's broken. He's deeply moved. He's weeping. In fact, he was called the weeping prophet because of this book, Lamentations, where he's going on and on about the things that he's seeing going on around him. But rather than mention the things going on around him as if that was the last word, he says, this I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. I'm in the middle of a world completely destroying itself, but I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. They're new every day. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, and I will hope in him. I have hope when my focus is on the Lord. We're coming into, this is the season of hope. But our hope is not in the next administration. Our hope is not in the next year going by. Our hope is not in our New Year's resolution, or, you know, maybe we're going to get a raise next year, a promotion. That's not our hope. Because how many of you know that hope comes, it's there, it's gone, and then you're moving on to something else. But God gives a hope that will not end. It gets on the inside of us, and we have hope. We have joy. Did you know you can have joy? You can be joyful when the world is falling apart all around you. And the world around you will go, you're out of your mind. How can you have the joy of the Lord when things are coming apart at the seams in your life? It's because my hope is not in what's happening around me. It's what's happening in me at the hand of the Lord working. We sang it this morning. Your promises never fail. Sang it over and over. By the way, Gwen, you did a great job with it. Your promises never fail. Never fail. They never fail. King David said it this way. I would have lost heart unless I had believed or recalled or remembered that I would see the goodness of the Lord. Where is he going to see the goodness of the Lord? Anybody know? In the land of the living. Where is that? That's now. He said, I would have lost hope if I didn't think something was going to happen in the real world, the place where I live. Listen, the sweet by and by, heaven is going to be amazing. I mean, heaven is, the doors open, praise God. And it is going to be amazing. The stories you can read in the Bible about what heaven is like. But did you know you don't have to wait to get to heaven? The scripture says that we're supposed to pray. Jesus said you should pray for his will to come on earth as it is in heaven, just like it is there. Wow, can you imagine what that would mean to people? Make it a point to remind yourself of God's goodness every day. When you get up in the morning, remind yourself, oh, this is the day the Lord has made. Praise God. Don't settle for knowing his blessings. Repeat them, reflect them, talk about them, expect them. Tell your children. Parents, somewhere along the line, we got the idea that the school was going to step in and going to make it happen. Remember, we had a family that went here one time. I'm talking decades and decades ago. So the kids I'm talking about would now be in their mid-30s at least. But this kid was the most misbehaved kid I'd ever seen. I mean, this was like holy mackerel. This was like a miniature Spider-Man. I mean, he would, you know, slam into things and jump into things and grab on the curtains. And I mean, I'd say, you know, we really should talk about your son. You know, maybe we want to help him a little bit. And he's like, oh, he'll go to school soon. The teachers will straighten it out. And I thought, yeah, I got some teachers in the church, and I know that right now that they are not pleased with you at all. You know, the teacher doesn't want to fix your kid. That's your job to fix your kid. It's your job to reflect the mercies of God and the goodness of God. It's your job to teach. We had Theo's dedication here. It's great. And Theo's there like, hoo, hoo, hoo. Give me another sucker, you know. He doesn't care. Where's all the work coming from? Right there. You know, you want to dedicate your child to the Lord. It's not like you dedicate him to the Lord. You're like, dodge that bullet. That's not how it works. We dedicate the child to the Lord, and then what? We turn off the TV, and we go to work. And we begin to pray, and we begin to study. And at night, we're learning the scriptures, because in the morning, we want to teach them. We want to lay hands on them before they go to school. We used to pray for our kids every single day before they walked out the door. And one day, I went to walk out the door. I was in a hurry, went to walk out the door. And Josiah says, aren't you forgetting something? What? You didn't pray. Oh, that's right. Now I got the kid telling me, hey, you got a job to do here. We have a neighbor in North Carolina who is, I mean, he is the sweetest guy. He didn't know us from Adam's house cat. And he just started showing up at our house. He would bring us food, bring us encouragement, offered to let us use tools if we needed them. I mean, and I thought, this is so unusual. I mean, I've just never had anybody, you know, treat us so nicely that doesn't even know who we are. And he came over one day with his wife, and they were just real pensive. They were real quiet. And this is, I don't know, this is maybe 6 months ago, last summer sometime. And he came over, and we were sitting around, and we have a, you know, the house, it's set up. I mean, we've got a little couch, a little outdoor furniture set. We could sit inside. And we were just talking, and then out of nowhere, he looks at Debbie and I, and he goes, I have cancer. I said, what? He said, I have cancer. And his wife goes, I thought you said you weren't going to tell anybody. He said, yeah, I know. I don't understand it. I just feel like I should tell these guys. So I said, well, how about if we pray for you? We believe that God will heal when we pray, and we believe in something called anointing with oil and laying on with hands. Is that okay? Well, I mean, people that have cancer don't generally tell you, don't pray for me, as a rule. And so he doesn't know anything about the Lord. He doesn't, I mean, I'm sure he went to church, you know, at some point. He's a Navy veteran, so he's been around a long time. So I go in the house, and I got a little vial of oil, and I come out, and we start talking. We start reading some scriptures, and then we anoint him with oil. We lay hands on him, and, I mean, in the middle of praying for him, he goes like, boom. And we finish praying for him, and he kind of, like, you know, checks himself out, and then he goes, wow, nothing like that has ever happened before. And I said, that's because the one who touched you is not like anything you've ever experienced before. And I said, now here's the deal. You need to go to the doctor, your next trip to the doctor, go to the doctor, see what he says. I'm telling you, the Lord is healing you right now. From this moment forward, he's healing you. Right now, he's cancer-free. He's cancer-free. That's not about me and Debbie. That's about the Lord saying, would you pray for this guy? Now, he could have said, you know, I got cancer, and we could have said, wow. What a drag. At that moment, it's up to us. Well, yeah, I don't really want to be flashy. I don't really want to be forward. Look, be forward. The people need you. They need me. They need us. With kindness. We're not lecturing him. Oh, by the way, subsequent to that, he gave his life back to the Lord.
Amen.
You know? And every time we get together, he talks about it. He tells us about, he says, man, that prayer, that was amazing, that prayer. King David in verse 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. You see, this is prayer, praise, honor for the Lord is an act of the will. I will do it. Or I will not do it. Will you come to my house today and help me work on my car? I will. Or I will not come to your house today and help you work on your car. I mean, it's the same thing with God. I will praise the Lord, or I will not praise the Lord. And that's how it works. It really boils down to two alternatives. And we're in the center, and we get to choose the one that is most appropriate for the moment. And at the end of that passage, he says, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together, it says. Hey, magnify is like enlarge. Do you have one of those smartphones where you can put your fingers on it and go, whoop, and it gets, magnify it, make it bigger. Have you ever found yourself looking at like a regular picture and suddenly you're trying to enlarge it and you realize, oh, wait a minute, that's not a phone, it's not going to work. Like it should work everywhere. Nothing in your life or mine is surprising God. Nothing surprises him. He's not sweating it. He's not worried. He's not doubtful. He's not saying, geez, I hope he makes it. Have you guys ever heard this song? I mean, they sing it down in North Carolina all the time, and I love it. It brings me to tears every time. I speak Jesus. Have you heard that song? And I speak Jesus for my family, and I speak Jesus for my country, and I speak Jesus for my friends, and Jesus over this world, and Jesus over my own life. And what are they saying? I'm speaking life. Scripture says, choose for yourself whether it's going to be life or death. Choose life. Speak life. Good and evil is in the power of the tongue. Love and death. Life and death. Speak life. Speak health. God is not judging us. He's not mad at us. He's not angry. Maybe you're watching from home and you're feeling conviction in your heart. I have not been to church since COVID. And there'll be people to jump on you. Oh, what's wrong with you? This and that. God's not mad at you. God's saying, I miss you. I'm looking for you. I want you. Maybe you're here and you've drifted. Most people don't walk away from God, you know. They drift. It's kind of like an incremental shift that happens. And they drift, and life happens. Oh, I don't know. I haven't been in a long time. Man, he's really missing you. He really wants you back. Not because he wants something from you. He's trying to get something to you. And that's the heart of your God. He wants to hear your heart, but listen, even more, or at least equally, he wants you to hear his. He wants you to lay your head against his chest and listen to his heartbeat and listen to his call, listen to his encouragement, listen to his direction, even listen to his correction. Listen to his plans for you. Pastor Andrew talked about Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. They're good plans. You want to hear them? Is that God? God's calling. Why does it say Walgreens? God's calling from Walgreens. He's waiting for us to come home with him for the holidays. Amen? Let's bow our hearts together. I so appreciate you allowing me to be with you these couple of weeks. And it does my heart good, and it's such a blessing to be here. I love you. I'm proud of all of you. We're all y'all. And just appreciate so much getting to be here with you. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you again today. We've done this several times already. God, we truly believe that you want us home with you for the holidays. Not home as changing places, but home in your heart. Home with you in our hearts. We want to hear what you have to say, Lord. We want to follow your word. We want to hear your heart. And we want to bless you, God. Honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.